You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company, Dave Callum and Dave Tindall in situ and ready to speak about this week's golf. The Kazoo Open and the 3M Open are the two events on the schedule this week, and of course we will talk about the wonderful victory of Colin Morikawa in the Open Championship as well. First of all, a good morning to you, Dave Tindall.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I must admit, I enjoyed last week. It wasn't the outcome that I wanted from a betting perspective, but I thought it was fascinating in the metronomic Morikawa prevailing in the Open Championship at Royal St George's. And I think the greatest compliment you can give him is that he never looked like being beaten on Sunday afternoon, in my opinion, Dave.
Yeah, he looked the one you could trust most. And I don't know whether that's just the way he plays or whether the fact that we knew that he'd already won a major very recently and had no scar tissue, unlike, say, Louis Oosthuizen, who had been in that position before and kind of stalled. So he did look the one from the start in round four. But to be honest, he looked that second morning when he played that Friday morning and was just sort of hitting irons and holding putts. He did think if the weather stays fair, then it's hard to see him not winning that, to be honest. And so it proved.
More wins than missed cuts in his PGA Tour career so far. And it's in his temperament that impresses me most. He never seems unduly flustered, and the way he and his caddy talk to one another suggests that he knows just how good Morikawa is when his irons. It's not like we need to land this 150 to 155. It's like we need to land this 150 yards and a couple of inches just to catch that slope. It's the way those two talk together, and he is the best iron player in the world. That's without question.
Yeah, and almost by some margin as well. So it certainly made sense. The only thing I was left wondering was, how would you back him in a very windy Open? Or would that be? Because I think what put everyone off him this week was he just got no experience in the Open. He played in Scotland and looked like kind of, well, he needed the run in terms of playing on the links, but it wasn't a particularly good run, was it? He was way down the field. And you thought, can he just jump from that to winning an Open? It seemed a bit of a leap of faith. So yes, he's got one in the bag, but I don't know. Would you see him as a kind of multiple Open winner?
I just think we get lost in the noise sometimes to a certain extent, don't we, Dave? I think that's what happened last week, because obviously he was talking about how he was having trouble with his irons cutting through the hard turf at the Renaissance Club. And then you're thinking, oh, well, maybe he's not suited to links golf. But in the end, he's, by such a distance, the best iron player in the world. He went off at a massive price, didn't he? In hindsight, obviously. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. And I know that many people out there did back him, but I think I was kind of put off by his comments after the Scottish Open. And I suppose we won't know about his play in the wind until we see a windy Open. And that's the one thing that you remember this Open Championship has been played in benign conditions. We always like an Open Championship in windy conditions, don't we? Because that's the true test, isn't it? The only real defence of a links golf course is the weather, and it was benign throughout the entire week, really. I thought the R&A did a good job of setting it up, and I think that it was a decent week all round, really. But the only contentious point was the watering of the fairways, which kind of left it a little bit softer than we expect of an Open Championship, perhaps.
Yeah, a little bit. I think ideally, some people just want like a brutal 4 days. I quite like the variety when you get like a terrible day but then a really good one and then a mixed one. So we kind of saw 4 days of pretty much similar. I mean, the wind died down, if anything, but it'd be nice to have just thrown in a bit of a curveball day to see what would have happened.
He came from the wrong side of the draw as well, didn't he?
Pardon?
He came from the wrong side of the draw as well, didn't he? Which just rubber stamps his edge over the field because there was quite a draw bias.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So he had that against him. I mean, you sort of watch him and you think, you know, the way he hits his irons, if he puts well, then he kind of... Someone who hits their irons like that who puts well is Tiger Woods, basically, in his pump. So if Morikawa does bring the putting side to it, then, you know, he does have that those echoes of Tiger. I mean, he's won two majors in eight appearances in them. Tiger took until his 21st major to win his second one. So it's some pace he's going at. It's not often... Tiger always used to sort of have a... was on his bedroom wall. He had like a list of Jack Nicklaus's achievements and when he got to them. So for Morikawa to be sort of way ahead in the majors won already, it's some going. But yeah, I mean, no one's ever going to have the sort of will to win as Tiger, but he's a steely competitor. And a couple of times you sort of looked at his face and you thought, oh, he's really got his focus here, Morikawa. So he does have all the elements, doesn't he, really?
Those couple of par saves in the middle of the round were crucial, weren't they? And those were Tiger-like par saves, I thought. I think the difference with Morikawa and Tiger at this stage, obviously Tiger Woods was a phenom. Morikawa not at that level. And Tiger always putted well, didn't he, in his prime, whereas Morikawa tends to have these spike weeks. But I think it was... I think it's relevant to talk about Morikawa when he... discusses his putting abilities and says in the heat of battle, when he's in contention, he knows he can lean on the putter. So even though he's way down the list in strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour this season, he can have these weeks where he spikes and that can separate him from the field when he knows that his iron play is always there.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his two majors, I think in the PGA, he was first for strokes gained putting. They had the measurements there at the Open. They don't have those, but he was first for putting average at the Open. So he's lethal, isn't he? When the putter, as you say, spikes, that's a good way to put it, because it so often he muddles along. You know, we play to this narrative, oh, he can't putt, and then it's not like he's just sort of bumbling along. He puts okay every week. It's either a bit poor or he just absolutely looks like one of the best putters around. You put that on top of the reliable and consistent iron play, and you know, that's why we've got a two-time major winner.
Let's talk about some of the also-rans just before we get stuck into this week. Louis Oosthuizen may be flattered to deceive on Sunday again. I know that his final round scoring average when in contention at major championships isn't as bad as many are led to believe, but he never looked like winning on Sunday, in my opinion. And I thought Jordan Spieth... produced the goods on Sunday, really. Made six birdies in eight holes when he looked like he was out of contention after the first half dozen. And I thought he pushed Morikawa to the line without ever looking like overhauling the American.
Yeah, Oosthuizen, I don't know whether we should be sort of fooled by style, but sometimes, you know, like a sort of a footballer who wears his shirt outside his shorts or sort of has got a slightly sort of strolling, ambly gait, and you think, have they got the killer instinct? But it's almost like his style of golf is designed to cruise along, maybe like a racehorse. I'm going all over the place with my mate. It's like a sort of thoroughbred racehorse that can sort of bowl along for the first three quarters of the race.
Yeah.
And those skills serve him well for that first 54 holes, that first 54 furlongs of a hole. What am I talking about? You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. Like, and then when push comes to he cruises through, and when push comes to shove, he doesn't find an awful lot when in front.
Yes, you've saved me. Yeah, that's the kind of thing. It's whether that kind of laid back approach. You need to then switch mental gears to sort of game face approach and. You know, when you're looking for reasons why he does always miss out, maybe there are genuine reasons, and maybe that is the reason that he just can't get out of that cruising mode enough. Whereas Spieth can have awful moments, but then he can really sort of get going again. you know, on Saturday night, Spieth missed those two putts for, and bogey the last two. But you always had a sense that he would come back from that because he's got more of kind of, you know, this flamboyance that maybe Oosthuizen and can't quite get out of himself. And yeah, and when he did win it, yeah, he's a major winner. But when he did win the Open, he wasn't really under pressure, was he? He just sort of sailed clear back in 2010. So great for each way back as Louis Oosthuizen, but in terms of the win, you've got to think there's a few doubts.
Here's a quick question. I thought John Rahm was superb throughout the week, really. And if he'd putted better, he'd have been banging contention on Sunday evening. I've got no doubt about that. Who wins more major championships, John Rahm or Colin Morikawa?
It's a good question, isn't it? Do you remember we used to have these Morikawa-Wolf Hovland debates?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
We replay that. I think I said Morikawa, but I'm probably just remembering it wrong. He'll have the better career. Well, we don't know yet, do you? Hovland might win five. Rahm looks kind of a beast at the minute, doesn't he? In terms of, I don't know, you can almost see Morikawa maybe having brilliant majors and then average ones, where Rahm will, it's hard to see him having a bad major, isn't it?
I think
he just gave himself too much to do this week. You can look at the missed putts, but I think he started too slow.
Yeah. So you're sitting on the fence.
You want an answer, don't you, really?
Well, I like asking questions like that. I know people say, oh, let's just enjoy the moment, but I think it's fascinating to look forward as well.
Yeah, well, you can't, unless you can bet on who's going to win more, then I refuse to answer.
That's true.
I don't know.
Okay. Shall we move on to this week?
No, can we just talk about the Open? Because this is too hard this week. It's always that feeling after a major, isn't it, where you think, oh, God.
It is difficult.
The prices look terrible, and everyone, how motivated is everybody?
It is tough. We'll start with the Kazoo Open, which is formerly known as the Wales Open. It's nice to see this event back on the schedule, and it's attracted the kind of field you'd expect the week after a major championship on the European Tour. It's not the strongest, but we've got course form to look at, given Celtic Manor hosted two events on the tour last year in that COVID period. Sam Horsfield won the Celtic Classic here, and a week later, Romain Langasque took the Wales Open at this venue. This year, Matt Wallace is the 8-1 favourite. Sam Horsfield is 12-1. Aaron Rye is 16s. Justin Harding is 16-1. Laurie Canter is 18-1. Adrian Lategui is 22s, along with Jordan Smith. Matthew Jordan is 25-1. Callum Hill, 28s. Connor Syme is 30-1, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. I guess what we learned from those two events is that the weather will play a major part, because it was benign when Horsfield won at Celtic Manor, posting 18 under par, and then in different conditions, Langasque took the Wales Open with a total of 8 under par, so 10 shot difference in the course of 7 days there. Looking at this week's forecast, we might have a mix between the two in terms of scoring. What are you looking at stats wise this week? I take it Celtic Manor is a course that you know reasonably well, Dave.
Well, to some extent, but yeah, we've seen enough. Obviously, it was used a lot, wasn't it, from 2008, I think, to 2013-14 on the tour, then came back last time, and we've seen it on the Ryder Cup.
Were you there for the Ryder Cup?
Pardon?
Were you there for the Ryder Cup?
No, I couldn't go that week.
Oh, okay.
I missed that week. So greens and regulation, I think, is an important factor. It's a par 71. We've got 4 par 5s, so playing well on those, it's kind of gets to 71 by having 5 par 3s. Mm. There's a bit of a debate about short game, how important it is, because players have done well in that, but not always people you think of as good short game performers. So that's a bit tricky. I think greens and regulation is the most reliable one. I don't think it's massively important what you do off the tee. And if you kind of cross-reference a bit, there's some decent form with Le Golf National as well, another Ryder Cup venue. Seen a few joint winners there, such as McDowell win on both. So there's a few angles in, but it's still a tough week, though.
Yeah, the par threes are difficult on this layout as well, aren't they? You mentioned there's 5 of them. They are pretty tough. So I looked at strong iron players, and nothing really stood out significantly in the stats as far as I was concerned. I just looked for players that I thought were decent prices this week. So I've come up with a couple of selections.
Okay, well, that's good. I've only got one, so you can lead off.
Okay, I'm going to go with Matthew Jordan as my first pick at 25-1. He looks the ideal candidate this week. He comes into this on a real roll, really, having posted top 20 finishes on his last three starts at the BMW International Open, the Irish Open and the Scottish Open. And I think it's only a matter of time. I think most people do. Before he flourishes and wins on the European Tour, and Wales seems like the perfect venue for him to do that in a field of this nature as well. It won't be an issue for him if the wind blows. He was third at the Wales Open last year. He ranked second in strokes gained tee to green, and I expect him to contend this week. He's an incredibly good driver of the ball, has that similar profile to Sam Horsfield in my mind, so I'll take him to step up on the form he showed in Scotland and Ireland and contend this week in a much weaker field. So he's my number one pick at 25-1, Dave.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sort of unwittingly, without you realising, we've created a kind of live quiz question this week. I don't know whether to actually set it.
Okay.
Or whether just to reveal now, because it's kind of a bit of a... Well, it's a bit of a coincidence. I'm leaning on the fact that it might add a couple of percent to our players' chances. If I name my first pick or my only pick as Connor Syme, you've picked Matthew Jordan in America. Do you want me to give them away or do we tease it?
tease it, Dave. All
right. In America, I've picked two players. So those two players, plus Connor Syme, plus Matthew Jordan, they've all got something in common.
Okay.
In that they played on... They played on a Walker Cup team. Well, I'm giving the answer away now. I'll give it away. They all played on the same Walker Cup as Colin Morikawa.
Oh, that's interesting. Interesting. So those listeners that are midway through this podcast can have a little pop at guessing the names of the two and the three M Open. That's nice.
So this was the 46 Walker Cup match at Los Angeles Country Club. In 2017. Now, just jumping sideways a bit here, Los Angeles Country Club will be the host venue for the 2023 US Open.
All right, okay.
So the fact that Colin Morikawa, who was born in LA, if you want to back him for a major coming up, get on.
That could be the one. So Connor Syme, your first pick. I mean, I put down four players on my list. I've picked two of them, and Connor Syme was one of the other ones that just missed out for me at 30-1. But he's got the course form, hasn't he? And a little bit of current form as well.
Yeah, in terms of the course form, those two events that were played last August, he was third in the first of them. Shot a third round 63. Was the 54-hole leader, and then he was the 54-hole leader again in different conditions via a third round 70. Didn't manage to get it done either time. Was third in the first one, the Celtic Classic, then only eighth in the Wales Open after a 75. But obviously eighth and third and lots of good rounds and being permanently in contention. He clearly likes that course. So it's whether he's got enough in the locker recently. It's not spectacular, but he had a decent little link swing there. Well, it wasn't a link swing, was it? Because the Irish Open wasn't on links, but those two events on UK and Irish shores, 41st in the Irish Open, 35th in the Scottish Open, where he was 8th for greens in regulation, so his iron play was pretty good. But it's probably mostly the course form. He clearly likes this. He's got a couple of other good results this season: third in Kenya, which I think also had five par threes, fifth in Gran Canaria Lopesan Open, 12th at the Canary Islands Championship, 18th at the European Open. That was only last month in Germany. So plenty of spots of good form. It's the course form that really gets him over the line. And maybe, as I say, a couple of percent that he'll be thinking, wow, yeah, I played with Morikawa on that team. A few reminders there of what you could become. So 30-1, it's not an incredible price, but it's enough in a tricky week, I think.
Yeah, definitely. 30-1, Connor Syme, your sole selection. I've gone three figures for my second pick here. Tapio Pulkkanen is my second pick. I always think there's plenty of space off the tee at Celtic Manor. You can give it a smack, so that leads me to think that he's worth a few quid at 100-1 this week. One of his best performances on tour came in Scotland at the Alfred Dunhill Links a few years ago, and I like some of his recent form too. He was third at the Canary Islands Championship and then posted top 20s in Himmerland and the European Open. Missed a couple of cuts after that. And then he had a tie for 35th at the Scottish Open. There was plenty to like about that weekend. Putter ran Horty shot 69-66 to move up the board. And I thought if he had another good week with the putter on a golf course that he can attack, he could contend Tapio Pulkkanen. So I thought 100-1 was fair about the Finn this week.
What's the word what do I say normally if... was it Graham? Graham on Twitter, my mate on Twitter, Graham said something like, I say jolly good if I don't agree with you.
Yeah, that was last week with the Harrington thing. I always tend to leave a pause rather than just going on to the next point, just to break it up a little bit. But yeah, the Harrington last week, jolly good, and we'll move on.
That's absolute rubbish, Colin. What are you talking about?
Are there any others you want to mention just before we do move on to the 3M Open?
Not really. At the front end, you've got to think Sam Horsfield will go well.
Yeah, 12-1's pretty tight now, isn't it, though?
Yeah, that sort of put me off that. Danny Van Tonder obviously played well in the Open, South African.
Yeah, definitely. He's been well backed, hasn't he? I do think he could go well.
Yeah, and I think a few are backing John Caitlin just on the fact that he's won quite a bit. He's obviously gone off the boil slightly, but I think people see him drift out a little bit in a field of non-winners and think, well, why not?
Yeah, well, I think that's fair, isn't it? 35-1. Yeah. The only other one I want to mention very quickly is Chan Kim, who won quite recently last year on the Japan Tour. And he's had limited invites, hasn't he? But you look through his form to finish 23rd at the PGA Championship and then 53rd at the Open Championship. And he had a pretty decent outing at the WGC Workday Championship as well at the concession. So, I mean, this is easier company than those three events. And he's 33-1. I just thought I can see a few people maybe gravitating towards Chan Kim this week as well.
Yeah, I think I was to some extent put off by the fact that he's 31 rather than kind of 17.
Yeah. I didn't know his age before I had a quick look.
So you kind of, he's a bit more exposed than you know, he's not like, oh, he could be anything, this guy. Yeah. He's kind of muddled around a bit on the Canadian tour and stuff. I don't know.
No, that's a fair comment.
But yeah, he's obviously got those recent majors and stuff. He was tied 11th in the 2017 Open. But so is that his peak? I don't know. But yeah, he's some sort of price, I suppose.
Let's talk about the 3M Open on the PGA Tour then. And Dustin Johnson heads the betting here at 7-1. We are top price guaranteed here at William Hill on the top 10. Plus, we are paying 8 places each way as well. So do get involved at williamhill.com and on the app on the golf page. Dustin Johnson 7-1. Tony Finau 14-1. Louis Oosthuizen is 14-1. Patrick Reed 18-1. Cameron Tringali is 28, along with Bob McIntyre. Sergio Garcia 33-1. Matthew Wolf is 33s. Emiliano Grillo is 35-1. Maverick McNealy, Hank Lebioda, Cameron Davis, Keegan Bradley, Bubba Watson, Lucas Herbert, and Ricky Fowler all 40s, and it's 45-1. And bigger the rest, low-key week, obviously, but DJ is in the field and he'll be looking to build on last week's top 10. And the 3M Open is at TPC Twin Cities for the third time. And I guess you couldn't have much more contrasting champions. Matthew Wolf making his breakthrough with that thrilling eagle on the 72nd hole a few years ago. Last year, the journeyman veteran Michael Thompson won. The thing they had in common was that they both struck their irons well in their year of victory. This course actually demands quite a few long iron shots, but it gives players so much space off the tee to operate. Water does come into play on a number of holes as well. Those liking a demanding driving test could be a little bit of a disadvantage this week, Dave, but we've got a couple of years of course form to have a look at, and With Dustin Johnson in the field, it adds a little bit of intrigue, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, there's a few that have come over from Royal St George's to have another go. Yeah, the stats. You look at the two winners of this event. Thompson was fourth for approach last year. Matthew Wolf was second in approach. First tee to green, Wolf. There was Colin Morikawa, of course, who finished third back in 2019. And surprise, surprise, he was second tee to green and first in approach. Mm. So Morikawa kind of laying his wares on the table even back then. Thompson was first in putting, but generally, when going through the stats, putting didn't seem that important to me. Wolf was 39th for strokes gained putting, Morikawa 47th. So I think approach play, tee to green, you know, the approach play element of the tee to green stat is probably where I'm looking at.
Yeah, I've got two picks this week. How many have you got?
Yeah, I've got two, so shall I go?
Yeah, both played on that Walker Cup team.
I mean, that Walker Cup team, that's some team. You look through it, it's got Morikawa, it's got Scotty Scheffler, it's got Will Zalatoris, and it's got Cameron Champs on there, Doc Redman, maybe not quite kicked on as much as you thought, but two others that I'll mention. So the first of these is going to be Doug Gim.
Yeah. On that team. He was so close to being a pick for me this week.
Yeah, runner-up in the 2017 US Amateur, Doug Gim, still only 21. We've seen him kind of flash his potential without quite having that big thunderclap moment, but he is a very, very strong iron player this year. He's got some nice form coming in, 54, 32nd, 18th, so he's just sort of getting better by the week. I did see that stat from Justin Ray that said about TPC Twin Cities had the second most approach shots hit by the field from 175 to 200 yards. So with Doug Gim already on my shortlist of about six or seven, I immediately clicked on the 175 to 200 yards PGA Tour stats, and there he was, top Doug Gim. So that was like, whoa, that's handy, which is good. And then he not only played on the same team as Morikawa, they're actually very good mates. They both live in Las Vegas. So it's got to be giving him a little bit of a boost. But he's certainly got the game to play well on this course. We saw a bit of that last year when he made his debut and got better by the round. 70, 68, 66, 67 to post tied 18th. Just wasn't quite as quick out of the block that he needed to be. But, you know, top 20 on debut, 18th in his last start. We've seen him play some excellent golf at times this season.
Yeah.
I've just got, even though Michael Thompson was kind of there, goes the other way, I still think this is a good event for kind of a young up-and-comer waiting to get that big breakthrough. So Gim fits the bill in lots of ways.
Yeah, Doug Gim, I can definitely see that this week. He was without question on my shortlist with his approach numbers. I'm going with Kyle Stanley as my number one pick at 70-1 this week. Tracking him on Shot Tracker is definitely a form of torture, isn't it? But with his numbers on this kind of setup, I have to be involved with eight places on offer each way as well. He can't putt. Everyone knows that. So it kind of gave me a little bit of confidence when you said you didn't think there was much in the putting. He'll have to hole a few, admittedly, but he can have a good week on the greens. It's just few and far between. He did have a good week at the Valspar, but what I like is he keeps making cut after cut after cut, which is definitely a positive. And he was eighth at the Charles Schwab a few starts back, and his approach numbers in the last half dozen events have been outstanding. Just had a look while you were speaking at those numbers from 175 to 200 yards. Dave, and Kyle Stanley ranked seventh on that list. Obviously, it'll be heart in mouth at times, but with water lurking everywhere on this layout, strong tee to green game will definitely be a positive, and that's what I'm leaning on with Stanley this week. And 70-1, I think each way is very fair. He lost seven strokes on the greens on his last outing and still finished 41st, which is no mean feat when you're losing that sort of number. In all honesty, on the field. So Stanley, 70-1, my first pick on this golf course.
Yeah, enjoy. Try not to follow him so closely.
No, you just see him hit it to 6 and 7 feet all week long, and then just Yeah, 23 inches for par, basically.
Yeah, suddenly see on the green in two, shot four in the hole.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's like with Stanley, but hopefully he can run into at least a place at 70s.
Yeah, jolly good. That's my code word for...
not for you.
For that. Yeah, my other one. So back to this 2017 Walker Cup. There's actually another GB and Ireland player playing this week that was on that team, on the European team, can you guess? Or GB and Ireland team.
Bob McIntyre?
Yes.
There you go. 28-1.
Yeah, Conor Simon and Bob McIntyre were kind of the standout players. Well, Matthew Jordan as well, obviously, from that team. But back to the star-studded US team, which, as I said, has got Morikawa, Scheffler, Zalatoris. So another player on that team, as well as Doug Gim, is Maverick McNealy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, another 21-year-old. I've kind of been following him in recent weeks, and he's not quite got there, but he's certainly showing lots of hints. So the last four events, he's got a 20th in the Charles Schwab. He shot a second round 63. Opened with a 65 at the Travelers, where then he shot three rounds of 70 to drift to 30th. 21st in the Rocket Mortgage, had some more good rounds, and then middle rounds of 64, 65 at the John Deere, where he was 18th. His stats, pretty solid all round, to be honest. He was driving it particularly well in a couple of those, Travelers and Rocket Mortgage. But not so good at the John Deere, but he did some other things well at the John Deere. He's just someone I expect to pop very soon, and just that I'm slightly playing to a theme this week by doing this 2017 being inspired by Colin Morikawa thing. So McNealy's, this is certainly an event where if you're following someone, it's not like we're running into some sort of tournament where you are just literally following him off a cliff and you're just trying to bend it to your will. This is an obviously good chance, the profile of this tournament and the course, for someone like him to get that win. It's encouraging as well that he was fourth at the Heritage the week after the Masters, which shows he can play well after a major. He's also, that Charles Schwab was the week after the PGA Championship and he was 20th there. So it might be the time to cash in on him. Runner-up at Pebble Beach earlier this season. So he's got some really strong results in the bag, and he just looks close. I mean, this idea of following him somewhat off a cliff, and sometimes you can think, well, where do you draw the line? Well, if you'd kept faith in Seamus Power last week, you're delighted, aren't you?
Definitely.
He had all that good form, and you're thinking, is his chance gone? But no, he got the win last week. So McNealy, not in as good form as Seamus Power, but it's certainly some very nice, most consistent form of the season he's in, so I'm going to play him at 40s.
Very nice. Maverick McNealy, Dave's second selection. My second pick, slightly bigger price in the market, Chris Kirk. I like the look of this week at 66-1. I think just with the three par fives here and all of them measuring over 590 yards, I think it's definitely worth looking at par four scoring average this week, and that leads me to a man fifth in the par four scoring this year, and a player that can lean on the putter as well. I thought it was better to have a putter to go with Kyle Stanley this week. So that second selection is Chris Kirk. Missed the cut of the Open Championship, but that came on the back of a 12th place finish at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, an event that correlates well with this one. And Kirk really is at his best in events that require low scoring. We saw that earlier on in the season at the Texas Open, at Harbour Town as well, and most definitely at the Sony Open, an event which he finished second. That's one of the easiest courses on tour all season long, so I'm hopeful for a big week from Chris Kirk this week, and I thought 66-1 was more than fair as well with eight places, so he's my second pick, Chris Kirk at 66-1.
He did start with a 68 at Royal St George. It's just he had a poor Friday, so
yeah,
it's plenty of decent form knocking around with him.
Yeah, I think he should go well this week. What did you make to the top end of the market? Did any of those players 20-1 and under? So there's four of them: Dustin Johnson, Tony Finau, Lewis Tazen, and Patrick Reed. Any of those stand out?
I think if I had to have one bet, I know it's it's the same old story with Tony Finau, but I think 16-1 is an each way price for Finau.
Yeah.
I think he always enjoys playing in majors and open championships. I might just give him a bit of inspiration. So, yeah, I can see him going well again. McIntyre, maybe. Don't know. I don't know quite how to sort of compute that price of 28 to 1. Is it very, very short? I think slightly better price is Sergio at 33s.
Yeah, I just wonder whether it's a Sergio Garcia. Yeah, I just wonder whether it's his tracks for Garcia. I just wonder if he'd want more of a demanding test off the tee. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But McIntyre's an interesting one, isn't he? At 28 to 1 because he's obviously putting his career at the forefront of his mind, chasing a PGA Tour card over maybe a spot in the Ryder Cup team. He might end up with both, Dave, but he had the opportunity to move up the points list in the event in Wales this week, but he's decided to go to the 3M Open, which seems sensible to me, Dave.
Yeah, and if you do like him this week, at least he kind of he did it the right way in the Open Championship, and that he started a bit flat and couldn't get the putter going, but then finished strongly. So yeah, he's got a bit of momentum there. The other one I looked at, we're a bit shorter on him. Maybe they, our odds compilers, a bit savvy to it. But Don Reavy's house, Reavy.
Yeah, I looked at him as well.
Yeah, both his wins have come in the week after a major, which is a kind of little trick I pulled off with Stuart Sink, who's also in the field at 50s, by the way. I don't know what happened to Sink at the Open on Friday. He was playing nicely, wasn't he?
He was, yeah, yeah. He opened up with a 66, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he missed the cut. Just went to pieces in round two, which is a bit off-putting. But Reavy played four rounds at the Open. He's definitely coming back to form. He had a string of missed cuts, Reavy, but you probably won't remember him winning the Canadian Open in 2008, the week after the Open, but you might remember him winning the week after the US Open a couple of years ago at Pebble.
Yeah.
He'd been brilliant at Pebble, hadn't he? And then he won the week after.
I think he'll go really well. I had six names on my shortlist. I went with Stanley and Kirk. Shea Reavy was one of them, without question. Doug Gim, the other one, who you've tipped up. And the other two were Charles Schwartzel, who's back playing really good golf from tee to green again. He's 50 to 1. He was third here last year. I think he'll go really well, the South African. The other one I just want to throw at you as well is Mito Pereira, who's won a couple of times on the Korn Ferry. I actually thought he might be shorter than 80 to 1 this week with those two Korn Ferry Tour wins, and then was fifth at the Barbasol last week. And what I liked about the Barbasol performance was, in a low-scoring event like that, he lost strokes on the green and still finished T5, so 80 to 1 Mito Pereira. I thought he could be 50-66 in this field, and I wouldn't have batted an eyelid anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. We mentioned Hank Lebioda.
Yes.
Have I pronounced that correctly?
Yeah, you have, yeah.
He's the form horse, isn't he? If you're looking for absolute form, top three, top tens in his last. So he starts fifth at the Travelers, fourth at Rocket Mortgage, eighth at the John Deere. Again, that's the sort of Seamus Power, follow the man in form angle.
Definitely.
We're a little bit shorter on him at 40s, maybe.
Mm. No, I can see him going well. And like you said, it worked with Seamus Power last week. I think there's a few players that maybe have been ducked in the market that people won't be looking at this week. And maybe Lebioda is one of them, but I think 40 to 1 is fair. I think Tringali is the one at 28 to 1 that's stands out. It's causing outrage on Twitter, isn't it? I think he'll play well this week, Cameron Tringali, but I can understand why some people will want to get involved at 28 to 1, given he's not even won on the tour yet, has he? Has he won once?
No, he's better for sort of DraftKings stuff, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
I guess you sort of know what you're going to get without him winning.
Mm. Shall we wrap up then, Dave?
Yes.
Give me your selection in the event in Wales, the Kazoo Open this week.
Yes. They're doing a lot of sporting stuff, aren't they, Kazoo now?
Yes.
Yeah. Snooker sponsorship. Everton, they sponsor. And then Gareth Bale.
Oh, he's playing in the Pro-Am, isn't he?
He's put his name to the tournament, hasn't he? That's the official title.
Oh, I didn't realise he'd put his name to the tournament.
It's the proper Kazoo Open supported by Gareth Bale.
Oh, right, okay. I didn't even realise that, to be honest. I knew he was heavily involved in the tournament. I didn't know he had his name actually attached to the event.
Yeah. So I think if you were seeing just the Kazoo Open, you thought, what the heck is that? When you see Bale, you think, oh, that's probably in Wales, isn't it? So
yeah.
Yeah, he's a big golf fan, obviously. My bet then in that event is 30-1, Conor Syme, a point each way.
And play a point each way, Matthew Jordan at 25-1, and half a point each way, Tapio Pulkkanen at 100-1. And in the event in Minneapolis this week, the 3M Open, Dave?
Yeah, I'll have a point each way on both Doug Gim at 40s and Maverick McNealy at 40s with that 2017 Walker Cup angle. They were both on the same team as Colin Morikawa.
I'm going a point each way on Kyle Stanley at 70-1. A point each way, Chris Kirk at 66-1 as my my two picks this week in the 3M Open. Dave, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, cheers, Dave. Yeah, no more majors for ages now. We've had six in a year, haven't we? What are we going to do?
I think it's like 260 days until the Masters, isn't it? And it just does feel like it did really have, you know, when Morikawa was lifting the clout of Jug on Sunday. It had that. I know there's big events to come. It did have that end of season feel, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like it's tough to get back energized for like the FedEx Cup coming up. I know the Ryder Cup will be fun, won't it? But a lot of people don't see that as a true betting event, and maybe I'm one of those. But I do like the event. I love the Ryder Cup, and I'll be excited for that week. But it's going to be difficult. Well, maybe it's because it's the week after. But getting up for the FedEx Cup now is going to be tough.
Yeah, well, and well, if you love everything to do with golf, you've got the Olympics next week.
You know that's true. That's true.
Yeah. some good names. I'll read you out the prices. We've got the prices up: 5-1 Rahm, 10-1 Morikawa, 10-1 Schauffele, 11-1 Justin Thomas, 11-1 Rory McIlroy, 12-1 DeChambeau, 16-1 Hovland, 20-1 the local man Matsuyama, who I think knows the course quite well. Casey 20-1.
Did you see
who's who? Lots of good players. I thought it might be a bit more kind of weaker than that, but some brilliant names playing in the, over there in Tokyo.
Did you see McIlroy's interview about the Olympics, Dave?
Well, what did he say?
He just said that he didn't sound overly excited about it. He said that the intimation was that he wouldn't be there if it wasn't for promoting the game of golf. You know, it wasn't high on his list of priorities, and he said that with the regulations it didn't feel like a real Olympics, and he was just going to spend 12 hours a day on the golf course, so maybe something would click and he'd find something in his game. But he didn't sound overly enthused to be there, let's put it that way.
Yeah, whereas obviously when Justin Rose won, he was absolutely loving it, wasn't he? So
yeah, it's just completely different feel, I think, this year perhaps.
Yeah, but it might take a bit of sifting through the quotes to see who actively wants to be there. I did read something by Cameron Smith, who just said he loves Japan, so he might be going there with a bit more enthusiasm than some. He's 25. I'm sure there's a clip I've seen on the, I can't think of the course off the top of my head, but I'm sure I've seen a clip of Matsuyama playing there with Donald Trump and the Prime Minister of Japan, and the Prime Minister of Japan falls in a bunker.
I've not seen that.
Sensation.
I'm hoping one of the South Korean players wins it, or at least gets a medal, because obviously Sung Jae-im, the most prominent in the market there at 30-1, he skipped the Open because he knows a bronze, silver or gold will mean he doesn't have to have military service. And we've seen in recent times that it can have such a detrimental effect on a young player's career, having to take those couple of years out.
Yeah, Siwoo Kim's in the field as well, yeah. 60-1.
Yeah. Yeah, do have a look at those Olympic prices if you want to have a look on the golf page. You can follow myself and Dave on Twitter as well, at dkellner, at Dave Tindall Golf. Thank you for your company once again, Dave.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
And we will be back next week. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, in the 3M Open this week, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the market, and we are paying 8 places each way. If you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.